Hello and welcome to our third episode of podcast in the area SAP Transportation Management. Today we have the topic conditions in TM, and I'm pleased to have three great colleagues from me here, Bernd, Klaus and Emmanuel. And perhaps we start just to introduce ourselves. My name is Ulf. I'm working as TM developer in the area forwarding order management. And of course, also we are dealing with conditions. Perhaps we can continue.
Who's not, huh?
Perhaps Emmanuel, you can continue.
My name is Emmanuel Grappler. I am working in TM development too as an intern. And in my time there, already facing several conditions.
My name is Klaus Häuptle. I'm working in the Team 3, planning a network. And of course, we're also working with conditions.
Yeah, and my name is Bernd Dittrich. I'm working also with conditions. I'm kind of the responsible for that. So any complaints, send it to me. Any congratulations as well. And that's why I'm today not the host, but the interviewee. So
perfect.
I will give my best to explain about conditions today.
Cool. So let's start with conditions. Conditions make a product very flexible. But let's start with the basic about conditions, Bernd. Perhaps you can say some words. What are conditions and why they are needed in SAP Transportation Management, for example?
Okay, maybe I first start with some general words, then some history going back into the early years of TM. Yeah, so conditions are basically a way to flexibly define some or get some input and apply some rules on that input and then have a result. For example, okay, come to examples later, but one easy thing is I want to define my freight order type, and I can have different rules on doing that. And rules is something which already sounds like BRF plus, Business Rules Framework plus, which is the SAP tool for making decisions. And basically, conditions are our TM interface to BRF plus, which is a rules engine. So basically, BRF plus is the actual engine doing the rocket science, and we are the dump users feeding the input and getting the result. So you need a condition if you have non-defined or potential different input and having a defined result. I think that's basically what a condition is about.
Okay, perfect. I got that. So input, we have some rules, and we have some output for that.
You might ask, why not using, I mean, it's very similar to, let's say, a customizing table. You also have some input and the result. So that is also something partially possible, old school customizing. But of course, then the input is restricted to what we already thought of and the result as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and at least on the input side, we are now more flexible with the conditions. I think that's the basic idea. Nevertheless, condition is always a plan B. So unlike TM 6.0.7.0, condition is always optional. So the whole TM can run without conditions. It only jumps in if required. So typically pattern would be I have a default defined in my type, for example, and then I also define a condition if that default is only default, and I want to have some rules.
Okay, perfect. So perhaps to bring this topic a little bit straightforward, perhaps we can start with some examples in the area of forwarding order management where we are already using conditions. Perhaps I start in this area of forwarding order management. So we are using, for example, forwarding order types, and of course, which is very important, is to determine the sales org of the sales agent. So there are different possibilities, and one is to define a condition to determine the sales org, which Bernd already mentioned, is one fallback strategy which you can use. Of course, there are always other possibilities to determine the sales org. The other possibility, the other area where we're using conditions is in the area order integration. So if something, some orders are coming over A to A in our system, then the type, the so-called OTR type or DTR type needs to be determined. This can also be done by conditions. And one more example is the freight unit building rule. There you have also the possibility to determine this by a conditions. Are there any other examples? Perhaps, Emmanuel, do you know any examples in your area?
Example a lot of people are pretty familiar with is the determination of the freight unit building rule. Our regular listeners are already familiar with this term, as we talked about in our first episode. So usually, the pretty standard is that you determine your freight unit basing, freight unit building rule based on your, for example, requirement type if you have a shipper scenario. But there are several other options you can use for it based on your item or
exactly whatever like you would have different rules for bulk versus products or pallets or with or without dangerous goods, etc. I think that is one area here. I think maybe you already, that was a nice starting point. So you already see if a document comes in, let's say via EDI coming from, or maybe from ERP, for example. So it starts with the OTR type, which is a document type for the very first document in TM, a starting point. Then the sales org could be determined based on a condition. Then the next step, all done in background, would be freight unit building.
Absolutely.
Then as we find the freight unit building rule on the item within the freight unit building rule, then it continues with incompatibilities, special areas. Maybe Klaus might add something on that one. So
in the incompatibilities, you can define incompatibilities between different business documents. For example, in planning, you can define that two different freight units with certain characteristics, for example, a freight unit with Android iPhone Android smartphones must not be on the same truck as a freight unit with iPods. So it's not a realistic example, but so you can imagine how you can use these incompatibilities, and in the incompatibilities also the conditions are used.
And maybe our example in the freight unit building already, we would have like incompatibilities, and then you could also say, okay, I don't want to have the iPhones and the Androids and the Windows phones. Okay, that's a minor line item maybe. in the same freight unit even. So then you would say, okay, and that's a simplified type of condition. We come to that later, so you don't have to use the full amount of that. And then you have a freight unit, and a freight unit type is determined again. And that freight unit type also defines the pickup delivery time window. So what is my tolerance for delivering in time or a bit late or too early? And that's, again, a condition. So I think enough for examples, because you have different types of input. For example, in the OTR type determination, document type determination, you would have more or less the TRQ technically as the input, so the route information. Then for the freight unit building rule, you're already on the item level because you define the freight unit building rule per item, so the condition must be somehow linked to the item. Then we come to the freight unit type itself. That is then again the freight unit route, which is the input, and the result is again different. This time is the freight unit type. And then for the pickup delivery rules, so that tolerance windows for delivery, then the output is even times or durations and some rules. So I think you already can see from that. So the input is kind of depending on scenario, and the output and how all that comes together. I can already say with the type is something we come to later.
Perfect. So now I got what a condition is what are the basics, the input, rules, and output. We heard a lot of examples right now that's heavily used in TM, that it can also cope with a lot of different inputs. Mm-hmm. But Bernd, what is now the thing which we deliver to the customer and how now a customer can adapt this condition to the to his needs. So what we do we deliver, and what needs the customer to do to?
Yeah, basically we learned our lessons. So in 6.0, 7.0, we also delivered conditions with hard coded names and also you needed conditions mandatorily. So and that was always a kind of complicated how to maintain it in by a customer delivered condition. What can you change? What not? Etc. So we changed that. Now is 8.0 and all the way through eternity, we only deliver freight condition types. But a condition type is that's something we come to later. But basically, the condition type is what we deliver, and that more or less defines the usage area. So we deliver a condition type for OTR, and we deliver OTR type determination. And we deliver a call for that. So in the coding, we would consider that condition. That is what we deliver, basically, the condition type. We do not deliver a condition, unlike 6.0, lessons learned.
So previously, we have delivered also the condition itself to the customer, which we are not doing anymore, right?
Exactly. So condition type is delivered, condition anyway, always optional. And what is defined in condition type is something we come to later. By the way, some historical remarks. Even earlier, where the conditions came from, that was in the TPVS days, that was the origin of the conditions. It was only used for incompatibilities. And at that point in time, it was only possible to extract data from a freight unit so that you kind of flexibly could say, okay, if the freight unit or whatever the freight unit in TPVS was, that's another story. So I want to, for example, the product or product group or something as an incompatibility input. And that was what the origin of condition actually were. And then in TM6.0, even though we made the mistake to deliver conditions, but still we at least resort that. And then we kind of came in contact with the BF Plus colleagues and said, okay, it's not only that we can take the raw data from the document itself, but that we can also use this rules framework, which is already there. It was called FDT at the time. So maybe sometimes if you look into our condition B also, you will see some FDT namings. That is formula and derivation tool, which is just an outdated name for BF Plus. So, you know, on and off, you have to rebrand your things, and that's it. And so that is the same thing for us. And that is where we actually came from. So maybe that's a kind of not directly answering the question what we deliver, but that changed over time. That's why I want to take that excursion now to looking back into the good old days. Okay, 6.0, not so good maybe, but still old days then.
Okay, so we have the condition types, but what needs the customer to do then? If he has a system and there the condition types are available and also the data access definitions.
Let's start with what is a condition type, what is defined there, and then how to use it, how to adapt that, and how does it link together. So basically the condition type kind of defines the usage area. Yeah, so let's take our example of freight unit building. Yeah. So for the freight unit building rule determination, freight unit building already have some condition usages. So let's take the freight unit building rule determination. As we said before, freight unit building rule is determined per forwarding order, or say technically TRQ item. So the first thing which is defined in that freight unit building rule determination condition type is the starting point. And the starting point here is the TRQ item. That is where the condition is called from. Since you don't know that, we deliver that condition because we know that. We deliver that condition type. So that's the first thing. Where does my condition start? Because you can imagine that pickup delivery time window has a completely different starting point, not the TRQ item. The freight order type determination has another starting point, et cetera, et cetera. So that is basically the first thing you define. That is relevant for us. What's also relevant for us is what is the result of that condition? The result of that freight unit building rule determination condition is a freight unit building rule and not a TRQ type. Versus the result of the freight order type determination is a freight order type. So, and that is the next thing that you define. That's a bit technical then also. But what is the result data element? So for the techies of you, of that structure. For example, freight unit building rule is the data element would be a freight unit building rule for that pickup delivery time windows. If you ever enjoyed looking at that, that's a structure that has some elements. So it's the delay, or what is it? Or the offset, early offset, late offset, do I do rounding or not? Acceptables. So it's a set of results. It's a, like four or five fields. In six, it was even, it felt like 15 fields or so. We streamlined that a bit, but still it is a structure at this field. And for my friend Felipe, and we also introduced tables as a result. So maybe come to that later. So you can even have a table type as a result of a condition. That's a bit dead for the big boys, and then nothing we use in standard conditions. But if you come for how could I use conditions in my custom developments, I may come back to that. But basically, so you define. Is it only data element? Easiest, freight unit building rule. Is it a structure? So multiple fields, like pickup delivery time windows, that rule set, because rule has some different elements, or is it even a table for like in your C coding? I don't go for the details.
If we use a structure as a result, is it mandatory to declare all of these fields to have a result for all of these fields, or is it possible?
After applying a node that I forgot that I released in the next last couple of days, we even keep that mandatoriness in BF Plus. So yeah, maybe let's remember that coming back to that interaction with BF Plus, what is mandatory, what not, in a bit later, maybe. So in the condition type, as I said, you define a structure, and I think when I developed that, I was new. So then that's why I needed at that time a flag which said, is it a structure or not? So meanwhile, you don't really need it anymore. I read the data element and find out if it's a structure or not, but we haven't removed it yet. So basically, talking today. Today is 9.0. We are talking currently 9.0 is in the market. So it's February 2013. 9.0 is in the market. We are aggressively developing 9.1. So that is, if you hear it in like 5 years from now, things might have changed a bit or improved. But that's where we are currently today. And we come to that back later. It's not even on our list. That's a good point. So mandatory fields, how that is handled. Yeah.
Okay. So we have the condition types. We have the kind of type for the input and types of the result of the condition, which is then the data access definition, or?
That is the next thing. Yeah. So we have the condition, as I said, the condition type itself.
Right.
Defines what is my starting point?
Absolutely.
BO, node, and BO itself. And the output, the result. That's already basically it for the condition type. Next thing is, of course, what is a meaningful input for that? Like for freight unit building rule determination, coming back to that example, for example, we said product or product trade group or material group or loading group, all that kind of fields might be relevant, or item category, or maybe even the TRQ type, OTR type might be relevant. So that is the input that I could use versus for freight order, for example, for the type determination, you might consider the weight, the total weight of the freight order. So LTL, FTL decision kind of thing could be something that you need as input for that kind. And that is where the data access definition, bit of a technical name, but okay, we are techie. So data access definition, which defines the input. Basically, the data access definition is a wrapper a wrapper to get the input for the condition. And let's say in the first place, you would say, okay, I have a data access definition that returns me the total weight. I have a data access definition that returns me the TRQ type. If a data access definition, it returns me the material group. And now that data access definition, that could make sense, like the weight could make sense for both for the freight unit type determination and for the, loading, unloading durations or so, something like that. And that's why the data access definition is its own instance. So the data access definition is defined basically independently and then assigned to a condition, to one or multiple condition types. So you can reuse it. The maintenance is a bit ugly, I have to admit, but still it works. So you'd say, okay, that weight, the total weight of the document is something I want to use for the freight unit, freight order type determination, and for the pickup delivery time window. Yeah, so that is the data access definition from a high level. What we also try to do to keep it on high level is to deliver some of that data access definitions with our customizing. Yeah? So that is already there. And assign it to the types where we think it can be useful. And then when you assign, you can even define if it's a default data access definition or not. And that, what does that mean? If you now create a condition with that type.
So the customer who creates then the
condition? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you on the phone or listening to us, if you now create a condition with that type, the system looks up the default data access definitions for that condition type and automatically creates the columns for that. So if you just start, so the condition type already looks like a customizing table in a way. A nicer version of it, maybe. Okay, that's a question of taste, but I would say a nicer version of a customizing table. It's already there. And only if you want to add other data access definitions, you would go to the details of that. But we come to the condition maintenance itself later.
So, okay, but this data access definitions you need also for the input, but also for the result, right?
Nope. The data access definition really defines the input for the condition.
Okay.
That is what is available as information for BF Plus, basically, finally, then. Huh? So that is really data access is the input. And now maybe we can deep dive a bit, rather, because that is the only interesting thing we have in the conditions on our side.
Just one more question. I've heard a lot of things where you mentioned now fields from different areas. So from items, from a header, also perhaps some relations from forwarding order perhaps to a freight unit or freight booking freight order. So how then this data are related to, is there some technique to jump from this field from this BO node to the other node and to collect the data or?
Yeah. There's no magic. It's just coding. And maybe let's deep dive into that one. So the data access definition, basically, there are three ways of three alternative ways of defining a data access definition. One, the basic one, is just to define the BO node where you want to read from. Mm-hmm. Let's take our TRQ item example. So okay. we want to make the freight unit building rule based on the item type. Huh? Mm-hmm. Simple enough. So that item type is defined in the TRQ item. So in our data access definition, we say, okay, or the BO that we want to read from is TRQ. The node is item, and the actual field is the item type. So that's very basic. What you even can say is I want to take some data from the root node. So I'm on the item level now, right? I determine the freight unit building rule per item, but still I want to read something from the root. I have my Z field, Z or Z, depending on where you are, UK or US. So I have a custom field in the root, and I want to use it as well. So what I then could also say is I have the BO still TRQ. The node is now root instead of item, and the field is my Z ulf field. Yeah. So that is the easiest, straightforward way.
Okay.
The system is smart enough to know how to get from the item to the root node, because that is straightforward. Second option is to make that a bit more sophisticated. And that is where the data crawler comes into play. Because I already said I'm starting in a TRQ item. The system is smart enough to go to the root node. But system would not be smart enough, for example, to go to the, let's say we have a location reference in that item, and that location has a country, and that country country. Yeah? So that is something which is not available. There's no field country in the TRQ item, at least no field I'm aware of. So pretty sure there is no field country in that. Can you confirm that?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Okay. As always.
And now we have to tell the system how to get that information, basically. And that is the data crawler. So the data crawler also starts with a entry node. And that must be the same as our BO entry node. In our example, TRQ item. From the item, I want to navigate to the BO location. And from there, to the country, which is in the node geographical information or something like that. So that is something you and I know, but system doesn't know. What do we need to do is now to define the steps. How do I get from the TRQ to the country? And basically, in our example, it would be two steps. I might be now a bit, I'm not sure if I know we'll have the right association names, but I think the principle is clear. The first thing is I navigate from the item following an association, there's a search type for that then, to the BO location. It's a separate BO, it's a separate business document with more information about the location, because in the item I only have the key of that location and maybe the ID, but not the complete address, because there's no point in copying that data over and over again. One point address, different topic. Still would work for them. So you first go to the BO location following the so-called cross BO association. You don't have to know that. You only have to know that you navigate from the TRQ item with the association to the BO location. Name will be something like BO lock root or something, the association name. And from there, the second step, because in the root, you don't have the address, because somebody decided that that this information is in the address details node. So in the second step, and that is also something called step in the data access and the data crawler. The second step, I navigate from that BO location root to the BO location address details. And there I have my country. So I have two steps and I need some logic to define that steps. And that two steps, those steps are defined in that data crawler profile. By the way, data crawler is also defined in other, it's also used in other areas, like authority checks. But that is our use case of that. So you define step by step how to get there. A very good way to prove your assumptions that you choose the right path is to use a BO test tool, /BOBF in our case, /test_UI. Then you go to that same node. So you enter TRQ item node. From there, you follow the association that you selected in your data crawler profile to the BO root. First step, and then next step to the second. So the second association to the node. You already feel now, we have now the data crawler, you define the target node. And now, but because we have multiple steps, what we have to define in data access definition is the data crawler profile that you want to use and the step, because you could even have more steps, or you could say, okay, I want to use that same data crawler profile and I want to use some data from the root and some from the country or from the geography information node. And to be efficient, we only go that path once then. So you can use, for example, then what would be on the root, the location type from the root node. So that would be step 10, our first step. And from step 20 of that same profile, which is then on the address detail level, I would use a country in our example. So that's the second option. So
that sounds easy. So the data crawler, you don't need to program there anything. You can
exactly. The trick is you don't have to program. You have to know the path to follow, but there's zero lines of code.
But is there also a way to, so for example, there's also the option to define association parameters, if I got it right in BO. So is this also possible to
Ooh.
to
association parameters. I have to check that. I think you cannot define association parameters in that data quota profile. Maybe there would be a change request to Dirk, but so far it's really the pure association. But typically, so far, the associations are already there, or you can define your own association as an enhancement. Yeah, but you cannot define association parameters to follow that association.
So some steps you can perhaps also then program then in this data crawler too.
I think within the data crawler profile, if you program some steps there, I would be very impressed, so to say. So really, if you use the data crawler, you should use it completely. The third option, we started. First option to remember was you just define node BO, the node and the field.
Yep.
Second was data crawler,
okay.
The step, which is equivalent to the node and the field again.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is now to code. So if you have very special ways to determine, or you don't even have a BO. Very nice example is your charges. If you do charge calculation, there is no BO instance, really. Yeah? In charges, there is some data provided by the communication structure. There is no route. You cannot crawl through that. Okay, there are some tricks to do that, but that is more for the charges chapter then. But structurally, there's only data available, and they have a class that they use to extract it from their data, following some conventions. So basically, maybe as a hint, if you use conditions in the charges area, normally you have to have the class, what's the name? They have their own class for that. I think that's also described somewhere in the charges area. And I will extract the data. Another example is a username. Current username is nothing available in a BO node. Yeah, there's a last saved user, there's a creation user, but there's not the current user or system time. Huh? So if you want to say, okay, if a certain user does something, it's different from another user. So if Ulf is doing that freight unit building, he will get a different type from Mai or Klaus. Yeah. Then there's nothing what you could use where you could use a crawler profile. There you also have to define a class for that. That username, I think it's SCMTMS uname, as in delivered data access definition already, and there's a class behind. That classes have a defined interface. So basically what you get is the node instances, in our example, the TRQ item instances. And then you do what you do. So you can also, of course, do a retrieve by association, but you can also just take the username, pass it or assign it to all the keys that are relevant. And I think it's easy to look at some of the examples, like this CU name data access definition has a class behind that can easily work as an example to see what do I have to do to feed data back. That is a third option. And with that, which is like a body. You can implement a class following that Tor IF cont, no, SCMTMS IF cont extra, like extractor or something.
Okay.
With that, you can code your own input. Yeah, that's, and we are in data access definitions. So that is input for the actual magic, which comes later.
Okay. Maybe one more question about the data crawler. You explained the usability if you move between different BOs, but maybe for some people who already had a look at conditions, there already exists some data access definitions where you use the data crawler within one BO. Can you say that there is also a beneficial
situation? So that's a very good point. It's not only to navigate to another BO, but you might also want to look at the first stop. So the freight order type depends on the location ID of the first stop. Okay, that's now also looking into the Tor business object model, but basically every location or every stop, where your say freight order is going through, is a stop in the first place. In our place. So there's no route, first location or something. A stop is a stop. So you have location or geo information and time. Basically, that is what is defined in a stop. That will be another episode then. But so all of them are the same basically. But of course there is a first stop, at least if you have a linear freight order, and you have a last stop, and you have intermediate stops. And now if you want to read the first location, it's different from reading the last location. And as I said, the straightforward definition is just the node stop and the field location. So now which one? Yeah? So, and here that
data crawler also comes into play, that you use the association from the root. Now maybe take the example of the thread order type determination from the root to the first stop. And that is a special association called first stop, no, stop first. In that case, to make it close to stop last. So that is also a use case where you want to use, where you could use the actual association. There's also another, I forgot to mention about that one. There's one more thing that you also can define without a data crawler, and that is the so-called filter attributes. We already said you can, let's take a stop example. Yeah? So you want to read the first stop of a freight order. As already mentioned, you can do that with a data crawler. In that very specific example, there would be an alternative way. You could also just define the BO, TOR, the node, stop, and then the field that you want to extract, which is the location ID, logistical log ID field, and then define one or two filter attributes. So you could say the attribute, I only want to look at certain stops. So I would have, let's say in a freight order, it goes from A to B only, you would have two stops, one outbound stop, one inbound stop. The outbound stop would also, in our example, be the first stop, which is a field stop first indicator, something like that, stop sequence indicator, something like that. And the same for the last stop. Same field, but different value then. Now, what you could say is, I only want to look at the first stop. And that filter attribute for that node, you would now say, okay, take that field stop sequence, and the value I'm interested in is first. It's a bit less efficient because the data crawler first has to read all the data, and then we would exclude that subsequently, but you don't need to define the actual association then in a data crawler profile. So for cases where you don't have that specific association, or you're too lazy to create one, or a data crawler profile, or you just want to test drive things, you can also use that filter attribute. There are two of them that goes a bit back to TM6, or where we had a lot of types and roles and everything. So for example, you could say, I only want to look at outbound stops as the first filter attribute, stop category, value outbound, and then first kind of duplicate information, but that kind of, or only a product items, and then the item type would be something else. So two filter attributes that you can define, like key value kind of thing. So that is another option. And by the way, okay, we come to creation of the, okay. All that data access definition,
right?
It's all just as all customizing is a copy master. So that is then copied when you create the actual condition. It is copied into the condition, and you can change it there. Yeah. So you can say, okay, I take that as an example, and then I change and take a different field. For example, instead of the location ID, I take the location U and low code, for example.
This can do the customer. Then.
You can do that within the condition.
Also. Okay.
Yeah. So you take the data access definition, it copies its value into the condition and data access definition in the condition, then you can change it there. Mm. Recommendation is clearly you do that for test purposes, but if you want to keep it, if you want to use that data access definition, you do that same thing in customizing, you transport it through, and then you have a clear setup. But for testing purposes, if you want to play around, you can also change it in the document, in the condition itself. So as usual, that customizing is just a copy master.
Okay, but coming back to the customer, so we have a lot of information right now about condition types, original data access definitions, and what kind of opportunities we have there. So what is the customer right now?
How doing? Will the customer use it? Okay, yeah. Let's take our example of the right to the billing rule. Is it already boring? No, still working. Huh? The example?
Still the best.
Yeah. Okay. this is one of the best. And we can plug to the first episode of that podcast, of course. Yeah. So in that, let's say we already talked about what we want to do there, right? We want to take the item type and based on that, find a freight unit billing rule.
Absolutely.
Okay. So what do you need to do? First, you have to create that condition. Yeah, so you go into the condition maintenance screen somewhere, admin data, general condition, create it. Select the condition type.
Yep.
Condition type defines that we are talking about the freight unit building rule determination. We already know the input, etc., etc. It's already boring. Everybody knows that already now after listening, right? So what you also define there is, of course, a name. You can choose the name freely because there is no namespace for conditions because we don't leave deliver conditions. Different for condition types, but come to that later. So now you enter the condition name and second, maybe jumping ahead a bit, the what is it, condition origin or something. So condition origin, you can basically define the work mode of the condition. Okay, that's not very explore. Okay, what does it mean? So basically there are three values there. That's one is I just want to extract the data. So the data access definition returns information. I just pass that result already back as a result of the condition. When would I use that? In compatibilities. We come maybe back to that later, right? So I just want to say I don't want to mix different material groups. Then the result of the condition would just be the material group.
Okay.
Second is BRF plus decision table based condition. And that is the standard also. So you take the input.
Okay.
And then you have a so-called decision table. Last one, that's for the big girls and boys, is so-called freestyle or a BF plus function-based condition or so. In that case, you basically just interface to BF plus and you define every more or less everything except for the input and the output, because that is the input is something we have to provide, at least normally. If you're very big, you can also get your own input, but let's say the input and the output. But everything in the middle is defined in BF plus. For example, Emmanuel set up a nice example with a formula. So you say the loading, what was it? Loading duration, right?
Yeah.
That would be with a formula. Maybe we can jump into that later. So that if you don't want to use a decision table, but something more sophisticated, and there's a lot of sophistication in BF plus, then you go for that third option. Yeah, that is the three options. So let's say decision table. That's our straightforward case. Yeah, no, because we jump to that different option in BF plus a bit later. And I can already, I won't promise it, but there will be one episode also with Carsten Ziegler, the architect of BF plus, okay, about BF plus itself as such, and how we use it, of course. So the next thing is we already decided now it's a decision table based condition. We have a name and a type. That's it, right? So then press enter. Or new or something. Great. Then we go into the decision table view or into the condition actually. As already mentioned before, we said for the freight unit building rule determination, there might be the item type as a default data access definition for that condition type. So when we now go in, we see the a table, decision table, with the one input column, which is the item type. That comes from the data access definition defined as default to the condition type. Yeah, that's the input, left-hand side. And the result, which is a freight unit building rule, obviously. So now if you would like to add something, we said should be user-specific, and that's not very standard, then you could press a button on the top right, I think, data access definitions, and then you could go there, and then you could add or even remove the different data access definitions with, and also define a column sequence. But the columns, that doesn't matter at all in BF plus. The rows are important. Come back to that later. Then you enter your values there. So we said now it's dependent on the item type and the username, right? So now you say, okay, if it's item type 001 and username Ulf, then freight unit building rule is freight unit building 1. If it's Klaus and the same type, then it's another freight unit building and so on. And maybe at the very end, you define a fallback. So if you can also leave input empty unless it's defined as mandatory, but come back to that later. So that's also maybe mentioned here. If you have a decision table, it's always, always, always read top down. So the first hit in that decision table going top down is the result of that condition. There's no other columns, doesn't matter at all. So the sequence of columns, it goes top down, and the first hit in a decision table is the result.
Okay, got it.
Straightforward cases. Yeah, so that is what you, and then now you would go up, and maybe you could also up and download from Excel the results and all that kind of thing, things, and can even simulate from there. But basically, that is what you do. So you define, you select from the available input. You might also define your own input in the data access definition. Then you actually maintain the values. That's basic idea that you as a customer, or even, and that is not even, I think, consulting work, but that's more power user work, that you maintain the rules. Yeah, so it's decision table rules.
Can you create only one condition per condition type, or can you create multiple conditions per one condition type, or?
It depends. That's an SAP answer, right?
Like always.
Yeah, it's different. Typically, you can define as many as you like, and it's also not a matter of space or something. Why do we restrict it sometimes? We already mentioned that normally you would assign the condition. I mean, that condition name, of course, must be assigned somewhere. Yeah. In our example, we assigned this freight unit building rule determination condition, the name of that condition, in a type. Assigning to type, transporting, we come to that later then. Yeah. So in the freight unit, in the forwarding order, I think root, or is it item type? I don't know. I think in root, you define the condition that should be used to find the freight unit building rule. There, I have a place where I can store it. So I can maintain as many as I want, and I can assign them or just maintain them just for fun. Yeah. The other cases where I don't have a place where I can give the name of the condition to be used. Example, OTR type determination. So the OTR comes in from ERP out of the blue. And the first thing is you have to determine a type. So you have nothing at that point in time. And that's why for that we have the so-called singleton condition. That is also something defined in the condition type.
Okay.
In the condition type, you say this condition type must only occur once per system. And that is if you don't have a place where we can maintain that condition. Yeah? So in our example, there is no place where I could define this is a condition that I should use for sales order type something, because that would be something that we need to maintain an ERP. And so we don't have that. So document comes in and the system just allows you to create one condition, but on the same side is that you can easily search for that condition type and you will have exactly one result. And if not, you take the first one. And with that condition, you can then do the actual processing.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. So that is why we sometimes restrict it to one, because there's no place to maintain that.
Great.
That condition ID, no, not the condition type, the ID.
Okay. So now we know what are conditions. We know in which areas in TM we are using conditions. We also know them from the technical point of view, what conditions are, what we deliver as SAP, what you as a customer, how you can use conditions. And we have heard that the input is for conditions are a lot of master data or customizing. But so one question which came up to me is how do we transport then conditions from development system to test, quality assurance system, or product system? Perhaps Klaus, can you say some words on this one?
Yeah. So as you already mentioned, conditions are master data and customizing at the same time. So it's possible to maintain a condition in the customizing system and to transport it into a productive system. And it's also possible to maintain the condition and the BF plus decision table content in the productive system. So there are two different places where you can maintain the settings. What's possible in the transaction SSC4, it's a generic transaction for the settings for all customizing objects. You can maintain if every change to the condition shall be recorded to a transport request. And later on, you can transport these changes to the productive system. But
I think in SSC4, you generally define if transporting is on and off. I think there's we didn't make it so far that you have a special condition settings in SCC4, right? It's more generally to activate or deactivate.
It's very general for all customizing objects, but still the condition is different and a channel behaves the same in the productive system, and it does not, for example, read if it's changeable from the SCC4, because there's also setting to specify if customizing is changeable in a certain system. But this is not part of this transaction. It's part of the authorization object. There you can maintain if a custom condition is maintainable. And you can also maintain if the user is allowed to transport the condition. Because you have to keep in mind, we don't have any intelligent logic for example, if you already have made changes to the content of the BF Plus decision table in the productive system, and later on somebody wants to transport this condition again to the productive system. In this case, all changes are overwritten. It's just taken from the customizing system.
Exactly. And
you have to keep that in mind and maintain the authorization.
Maybe something that takes a bit of burden away from that is that we have versions also in BF Plus. So, and then we also activate in the condition context, we activate that versioning. But I think all that is something for a deep dive about BF Plus itself. But still, as Klaus said, right? So if you can maintain it in production environment with a special authorization, because that has quite some impact, of course, if you find the wrong rules or in charge calculation, there are also conditions in place. So you can have effects with that, of course. I mean, that's what it's for.
But still, you don't have an option because you don't have all the master data in your customizing system usually. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you depend for most of the conditions also from that master data. And you have to maintain the conditions.
I think that's also in this case. That question also comes on and off. One thing is also that you can, for emergency cases, you can correct it in the production environment, because the transporting can take up to days. At least from my consulting days, I know sometimes the transport from queue or from dev or queue to all the way through to production can be days. And if your charge is going the wrong way, days can be very, very long. So I think that is one point here. And another impact of that is that is also why we wouldn't check for the values that you maintain in the decision table. Sometimes the question is, I don't have that location here. Why do I get an error if I maintain in the decision table that for location A, I want to have the result X? And that is because you might transport that condition in the production and there you would have A. Yeah. So that's why it's not that trivial that we can simply say, okay, we don't have that value, don't save it. Yeah. So just as a background information. But as Klaus said, there are implications on that. If you then transport again, then object is overridden.
Is this a general flag to stop the transportation to the productive system, or can you do it per condition, or how is this working in detail? Sorry.
Currently, it's possible to do it in the authorization object. And I'm actually not sure if also the condition type is part of.
Yeah, I think the authorization object has a condition type, and the activity, I think, is then the maintain in production environment. Okay. So I think there's not much more in that authorization object besides the type and the ID, I think. So it should be possible to only allow it for charges or not allow it for charges.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have to maintain the condition type in the authorization object, and then it's possible to restrict that it's not transportable.
Okay, perfect. Sounds great.
Yeah. Maybe coming to that, we have plus settings now. Maybe coming back to Emmanuel's point from the beginning about the mandatoriness. Is that a word in English? Yeah. So if a field is mandatory or not, specifically for input. So up to 9.0 at least, that might change in the future. Hint, hint. You have no option to define in the condition itself if a certain data access definition, input, is mandatory or not. Yeah? But you can go into BF Plus, transaction is BF Plus. As we said, so what is behind our, I didn't mention that too much.
Yeah, maybe now let's go a bit technical now. So when you create that condition and create that transport entry also, and we already talked about the implication of the transport, and all that is because behind our simple small condition, there's a powerful BF plus application. And BF plus, so it's one-to-one. One condition is one BF plus application. There are other ways of using BF plus applications, but I'd say that's our way.
Okay. And
in that BF plus application, you have a so-called function. The function is what we call it, kind of an outer layer, like the function module maybe a bit, so that you can consume. Yeah? And within that function, you have a expression, an easy way. And our decision table is, for example, an expression. So now, if you follow that path, in that BF plus transaction, you go transaction BF plus, you navigate, you see my object, I think that's also the default, then you would see your condition that you created. You can navigate to the decision table, which is a expression in BF plus terms.
Okay.
And there, more details than what we show normally. We want to simplify it a bit. And in that decision table, for example, in the column settings, you can say a certain column is mandatory. And up to, I think, when was it? Like 3 weeks ago, I destroyed that. When you saved, I destroyed that setting, but that has been fixed now with, you know, maybe we can attach that node number later. But if you search for mandatory and condition and column, then it should be easy to find it. So we would keep that. So you could say a certain input, data extension or output column is mandatory. So then you could not leave that blank. So say the user always need to be maintained in our example, then you would say it's mandatory, but I could leave the item type empty or not. That's my option. So that is something that you can do in BF plus. You also have that simulates, I mean, we also show that simulate stuff in our site. Maybe we can also go to that. So basically, simulation is a very powerful tool in BF plus because it's also with all traces and you see the different steps. So in our example, you have now defined item type and then user. Now you want to test that. You can press the simulate button and then give manually the inputs, your username or different username or no username, and then get the result what BF plus returns. That's also for troubleshooting. Come to that later. That's a good starting point. Is, as I said, it's always top down. And so that's an easy way to simulate. That is, by the way, on the function level, technically. Because what we call it function, then also that simulations on the function level. So that is the simulation part that you can do in BF plus. Anything else? And maybe we can also now talking BF plus, maybe we can just mention the other expression types. So decision table, that's basically, as I said, you go down a table, all the input, first hit is the result. First hit, that's also against standard. The first hit is the result. That's also one setting in BF plus, return all hits. Yeah, that returns really not only the first hit, but all hits. Let's say it is the item type and user. And then let's say you leave the user blank and you have some item type. So you could have also multiple values that are valid, which you hit. Now, standard, as I said, first hit returned result.
Right.
Now, for your own enhancements, you might also say, I want to get all hits and then store that in a table or so. We don't have a standard use case for it, but it's possible. Then there's a setting in the, I think, decision table, return all hits or something like that. Yeah, so that's more for the enhancement you will do. Come to that a bit later. And that is the decision table, basically, going top down. But what else do we have? I think this decision tree. Right, so that is maybe somebody has a good use case for that. I'm using it too often. That is, I think, if you have an early split, so let's say you really go two ways, yeah, it's ocean or air, for example, then that you go and you split at the very beginning, because in a decision table you would need to maintain that ocean, air values very often. So if you want to split that, you could say, okay, I have a decision tree.
So kind of multi-step then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's for simple. Then you don't have to mention ocean again.
Absolutely.
Then we have formulas. Formulas. Maybe you use it. So maybe you can drop some words on formulas.
What we did there was that we created a formula base. We have bus expression, and we wanted to calculate the loading time. So we just created also a DAD, what we're talking about. That's maybe something we have to mention. Every DAD you create, you get a data element in BRF Plus, which you can use for all your expressions.
So the formal term in BRF Plus is data object. It's like they call it a data object then. Okay. In BF Plus, so the input and the output elements are data objects.
Okay, and what we did, we created an expression with the result loading time, and we just said that for each kilogram our item has, we have 10 seconds of loading time. That is a pretty forward, pretty easy formula, but what we tested later was that you can have expressions inside expressions. For example, we used a decision table inside that formula and said, based on our means of transport, we have a multiplicator for this, because one truck has a higher loading platform than another, so you have it takes some more seconds for each kilogram, and so you can play around with this and create pretty interesting.
Exactly, I think that 10 seconds was not fixed anymore, but the formula was kilo, so the weight. Even with conversion. So meanwhile, we are also smart enough to feed that correctly. So you say per 10 kilograms, it's 10 seconds. That was the first thing, right?
Yes.
And then even the 10 seconds was flexible.
Yes.
So you said that it's 10 seconds if it's means of transport truck. And if it's say rail, then it would be 15 seconds but still the formula would be the same. And that's, I think, also one of the powers of BF Plus. You can combine all, as far as I know, all condition types. There might be limitations on that one. So you could say, in our example, decision tree at the entry point, and then you go into a decision table, and that decision table has a formula in a column or so.
And what is also possible in BRF Plus is that you don't only have the data objects from your data access definitions, but you can also create data objects kind of like dummies. For example, that multiplicator, you just create a data object and then you fill it with a number, quantity, whatever you need in your case.
So that is very, very powerful, and in many cases it's still very fast, because in I think like for decision tables for sure, I think also for formulas, they generate ABAP coding out of that. Nothing you necessarily want to read that coding, but you don't have to, because it's generated at runtime normally, and it's the first time it's called. They generate the coding, and then it's very fast. So that decision table is not kind of it's not going, loop add kind of things, but if, and that's typically something way more efficient. Like we had one customer, one that you might have using device from to listen to their podcast, that has a huge sets of formulas in one use case, a lot of different expressions in a row, and we come to that, let's say, more complex BF Plus stuff itself. And then on and off in testing phase, they had a breakdown in performance, and that was always when it has to go to the interpreter mode, which is, let's say, the normal ABAP mode with like loop add if kind of thing. But as soon as they went back to the generated coding mode, which is a normal BF Plus mode, it was, 100 times faster. So typically, if the data access, getting the input is not slow, the BF Plus piece is very, very fast. Yeah. So that is maybe also important to know. That's a generated coding. Yeah, it can sometimes also generate syntax errors by itself. That's then, of course, worth a message. Yeah.
That's great.
I think that is... For the BF Plus, that's high level now. Maybe we want to deep dive into that one in a later episode.
Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds like an extreme powerful framework which we are using there.
Yes.
So we have now heard how we're using a TM, how we deliver it, how the customer can build their conditions based on the condition types. Since this framework is very powerful, it's also possible for a user or for a customer to create right from the basics own condition types and use it in their own coding for their applications.
Absolutely, yes. So there are quite some customers, I would say, exactly following the pattern. So the idea is you define your own condition type because you're a developer now, and you jump into the developer shoes, custom developer shoes. You know what is your input. So I know I want to determine something for a TRQ item, for a thread order route, for a thread order stop, etc. So I know my starting point, which is required for the condition type. Then you also define you already know your results. So let's say you want to determine a set field based on your own logic, but you don't want to code too much. So you create a condition type, you assign your set field as a result. Yeah. So that is what you have to define. And then, of course, you assign meaningful data access definitions to that input. And that, again, it depends on your use case. So pretty fast, you have your own condition type and assigned data access definitions. Now, in your coding, the Z coding is really small. So what you have to do is you have to call that a class, which is called scmtms, cl, cont, cl underscore cont underscore ol, outer layer. History also. There's no real inner layer anymore. BF plus is kind of the inner layer. I think the name of the method is proc-cont, process conditions, proc-cont, I think. That's it. What you have to provide is the keys of the instances, so the Tor root instances. So if I have 10 different threads, I give 10 different keys. And the name, or the GUID if you have, of the condition that you want to have. We want to have the result. Of course, you again need to get that condition name. You store it somewhere, you hard code it, you assign it to your customizing if you have some. You get your condition ID, not the condition type, but the real condition ID. And then you get a result, and the result structurally is something like you have the instance, the key of the thread order, then the name of the condition, and the GUID of the condition, and then the result. Result, again, can be just a field, can be a ref2 data if it's a table, or can be a kind of key value store. So if you have a structure which has loading duration and unloading duration, so it's two fields, then you will get back a struct or table per thread order and condition. You get back a table then with the name of the field, loading duration and the value, and the name, the next field, unloading duration and the value. Then you loop about that, cross that, and then you just extract the values. I think that's pretty common in development. You don't need any Z table anymore. So if later the business says, I need one more column, and that, from what I heard, it happens that requirements are changing over time. You don't have to touch any table or so. You just assign another data access definition. Perfect. Or you remove one if you don't need it anymore. Yeah? There's no way of thinking about, okay, now I have the five different inputs. What do I do with partial hits? I mean, there is a tool that already thought about partial hits. Yeah. So, and that's why I think it's a smart idea. Users anyway will get used to conditions. You have all that, the power of the maintenance and production environments Klaus mentioned before, transporting is there. So honestly, from my point, I don't see why I would use a Z table. That depends, of course. I don't know. Would I do that for only one column, one result? But okay, would you be sure that this will remain with one column, one result? Or might it be two columns as input later? So that is something you definitely can do, and it's like 50 lines of code. And a lot of that is like no-brainer coding. It's really, I have my instance, I have the condition, I get the results, I process the results, of course.
Sounds easy. Though the whole condition framework, where it is located, in which software layer? Is this in the business foundation layer? Is this in the TM layer, SMB layer, or where it's located? And if a customer wants to get some more help on this, if he wants to use it, where he can search for?
Yeah. First answer, conditions are TM layer. So that is something, it's a generic concept to combine BOP, so to say, BO modeling with BOP, with BRF plus. But as I said, it also relies on the data crawler, which is also in the TM layer. Not saying that it would make sense maybe to have another layer, but so far it's in our hands on the good side. So it's TM. Also from namespace, SCM, TMS. It's a kind of, we are on BOP, other applications are not on BOP. I think that's why it's nothing you can directly take into BF plus. Okay. Finally, that's the ultimate goal, of course, that we don't need a layer anymore, but so far it's there. About how-tos and so I think what we did a lot in that area is we have some documentations, of course, also about how to create your own condition type, etc. Plus, we have quite some posting in the in our nice SCE community, also mentioned then in LinkedIn group then. But typically, if you search for condition in the SCE community, there should be quite some hits. For example, coding on how to use your own conditions, some explanations on data crawler and how to use it. I think it's called how to use a magic data crawler. Also. Exactly with that example going step by step. Yeah, we have that formula example, which is very nice. I still try to convince our Brazilian colleagues also to pass their formula in there. So, and also I can just encourage everybody maybe to share some nice things they did. Ah, yeah, Felipe also did quite some postings about very creative usages. I think he did even, that was nice. He did use the conditions. What was it? You looked at it, right? It was
used images from an HTTP.
Right. He used a side panel, right? It was a side panel.
And based incoterm locations, I guess.
Incoterms, right?
And he showed some images explaining the incoterm. Used in a booking.
I think you enter the Incoterm. You don't know exactly what it is, maybe because you're an intern. then you get a picture in a side panel, also technically in a side panel, which is then derived with a formula kind of thing. I think Felipe also shared that on the SC community, right? Also other. I think that is a good place to go or ask questions there. I think many people can answer because many people have already worked. I think there's also Claude, about the transport thing. Also, I think we have a consulting or something about that. Is that right? Or posting or something?
Mm-hmm. There's already a posting in LinkedIn. Okay. But I think, still there's some consulting note required.
Yeah.
I didn't have time yet.
But I think that should keep you busy for a while.
Okay.
Good.
Perfect.
Think, that's
we learned a lot about conditions personally.
Yeah.
Me.
Me too.
Thanks to you all. Thanks, Klaus, Emmanuel. Thanks, Bernd, for your input. And I'm happy to moderate the next podcast and the fourth one.
Episode of a podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And have a great day.
Thanks for hosting us, and now start building on condition types, huh?
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.